It's the Falcon Cast podcast, the official podcast of the Atlanta Falcons. I'm Matt Moore, next to a couple guys that got the memo. Man, that's pretty cute that we all dressed the same today, isn't it? So, Jay Adams, Reed Farron. Guys, thanks for wearing the official uniform of Falcon Cast today, I guess. That was a nice coincidence.
I missed the khaki memo, though. I've got on gray slacks.
I looked up at the monitor before we went on, and I was like, oh, wow, this is nice. We really all have the same dress code going on. Not planned, not a uniform by any means, but, hey, you know, it's nice that we're on the same page here. I like to
say that. Chemistry. We are very much on the same
chemistry.
Page.
Chemistry.
Chemistry. It's good chemistry.
Read each other's minds.
All right. So, you know, as we said, and I think I can pride myself on this, we're not going to put sunshine glasses on every week on this. We're going to be real. But we're also not going to be to the extreme that some people are on message boards and threatening Jay for the loss. You know, it's your fault. Jay,
right.
Is what I saw.
What's that about?
Monday morning. That being said, the Falcons are coming off a 27-13 loss at home to the Chicago Bears. Just your quick takes on kind of what you saw on Sunday. And I'll start by just saying I think a lot of people are blaming the defense. I think the offense might have let the defense down for – first time this year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is a Falcons team that never really got going, I think, mm-hmm. in that game. And you look at probably some of the more glaring things, and I would say that the drop passes kind of really stood out. I mean, Matt's completion percentage wasn't very high, and it was I think a large part of it was because of just, you know, some passes that hit hands and didn't get pulled in. And, you know, it happens in football games sometimes, and you know, not everybody's going to have a good day every day. But the problem was that you had a couple of guys at the same time have the same bad day. So that really stood out to me offensively for sure.
Yeah, and Roddy White even mentioned it, that he thought the offense let the defense down, like you said, Matt. And also talking to offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter, he said falling behind the chains, not winning on first down, automatically puts us behind the chains, so to speak. Penalties are a factor in that. You mentioned the drop balls, so which Roddy and Julio, they stood up and said, yeah, we're not used to doing that. Obviously, they've worked on it this week. They expect to catch every ball that's thrown their way, and I expect them to do that Sunday.
Mike Smith, you know, he's mentioned all year is getting in the third and manageable situation, and the Falcons definitely didn't do that against the Bears. I mean, you had plenty of situations where you're sitting third and 10 plus, and the guys even talked about it this week. You're not the chances of you making that go down with every yard, basically. And you know, when you're sitting at third and 10, third and 12, third and 13, you know, you're just not gonna be in a real good spot to make those first downs.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because Reed, you and I talked to the coordinators. We were in the same interview. And Dirk Cutter, I thought that was really interesting when he was talking about is how they kind of have a plan where we want to get at least this many yards on first down, at least this many yards on second down. So it's exactly what he said was third and manageable.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in third and manageable, the defense, Jared Allen doesn't know that you have to pass on that play, mm-hmm. and right. pins his ears back and can get around on the edge and, you know, time your snap count a little bit.
And that's really what we've seen, you know, as far as when the offensive line breakdowns right. have happened, have been on third downs or fourth downs, and you kind of know what the offense is going to run. And so they're able to, like you said, pin their ears back and go after Matt. And, you know, it's no secret that when you're facing a third and, you know, 7, 8, 9, that it's probably going to be a pass.
And he was saying drop passes and penalties attributed to that. He said, you know, in the scoring drive in the third quarter, at one point they were in first and 29.
Yeah.
That's not the recipe for success, is it?
Right. And then, but he mentioned that's on the bright side, you know, glass half full. They overcame that, yeah, marched down the field and scored.
They did.
So don't get used to that. But yeah, penalties have been, you know, a kick in the side. But obviously they're ready to fix those and come out on Sunday.
The way to get around a first and 29 is explosive plays. And I think the explosive plays have kind of been a factor on both offense and defense for the Falcons. On offense, when you do have them, you look at the Tampa game, you look at the Saints game, even, you know, Anton Smith, look at all the explosive plays he's had where they've become quick touchdowns, momentum changers. On offense, that's what you want. On defense, the Falcons have given up a few explosive plays, and it's hurt them in a big way in all the losses.
And the thing with this matchup, though, was so interesting is the Bears came in with the worst number, the lowest number in the league of plays of 20-plus yards. And I think they had something like 6 or 7 in this game. And, you know, that's certainly discouraging from a defensive standpoint. I mean, you know what they had in Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, and you know they've got playmakers there. But just coming in, knowing that other teams have been able to frustrate that group of playmakers and keep them from breaking those big plays was tough. I mean, you had that 74-yard pass, and you're sitting there thinking, okay, well, the Falcons are you know, kind of poised for a comeback here, and then they just hit you with that 74-yarder. Yeah. And, you know, that kind of stuff will end up hurting you.
And on that note, one thing I found encouraging this week, because, you know, you come in after a loss like that at home, knowing what's ahead, which we'll get to in a minute, you know, us at least, we kind of are gloom and doom on the first part of Monday. And let's just be honest. One thing I found encouraging was the coaches and the players have not been in that mindset. And I liked hearing all those guys say, this is fixable. We've watched what we've done wrong, and it's a couple of guys here, a couple of guys there. We've all got to be on the same page, play as a team, and it's fixable. And I really liked what Dwight Lowry said on Monday. He's like, listen, the Ravens are not going to feel sorry that we gave up a 74-yard pass and that we're 2-4 and that we have to go on the road and then we're going to play this Baltimore team. He's like, they don't care. And he's like, and we need to know that. And we are the only ones that are going to be caring about that. And we got to fix it. And it sounds like it's encouraging when they watch film that it is fixable.
Another great quote from Lowry. He said, losers point fingers at each other in locker rooms on losing teams. We don't do that here. We don't do that in this locker room. And he said, we're here to learn from our mistakes. And that's what I like, accountability. You know, these guys came out in front of the cameras and said, yeah, we dropped balls. We did things we're not used to doing, and that cost us the game. So now they're professionals. Let's correct it. Let's fix it. Let's go to Baltimore and do something about it.
And that's been a big thing is you know, I understand as being a prominent member of Falcons Twitter, you know, I understand where the kind of temperature is right mm-hmm. now, but within the locker room, I mean, there is a lot of confidence. There is yeah. a lot of belief that they can turn this around, and that's just contagious. I mean, it's like you said, you come in on Monday and it's a little bit doom and gloom, but then you get around the players who
absolutely
are, you know, that's a group of guys, right? That's the group of guys who can do something about it. That's a group of guys that suffered the loss, and they're confident that they can turn it around. And that's been, you know, the most encouraging thing to me is talking to these guys. I'm just coming off an interview with Anton Smith where he looked me right in the face and he said, I truly believe that we're going to turn this around. And, you know, it was just me and him in a room together. You know, there was no cameras, no other. He said, I truly believe we can turn this around.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and that kind of belief is just, I mean, it's not a talking point. It's not just some canned speak that, you know, these guys truly have faith in each other. And I think it's just a matter of coming around. And the word consistency has been thrown around a lot. And I know it's kind of become a buzzword, but I think there's some truth to it. You know, you fix some of those consistency issues, and I think you're maybe dealing with a pretty good football team.
Totally agree. And it starts with Smitty. I got the same vibe. I have to go in his office every Tuesday and do a couple segments that we do on AF.com, and I got the same vibe, Jay. I really did. I mean, he had put the Bears behind, and he's confident in the guys he has and the guys he's going to take into Baltimore Sunday. I truly get the same vibe that you got from Anton Smith as that I got from Coach Mike Smith. So it starts from the top, and I think, you know, look, like we said, we're not here putting sunshine glasses on, but we are telling you what we're hearing and from the coaches and the players.
Yep.
Well, let's move on to Baltimore for a second, and then we're going to talk about Jay and I being nomads because we're about to go on a road trip, my man. Speaking of explosive plays, you got the Baltimore Ravens, and it starts with Joe Flacco, and it's always fun to, you know, talk to same draft class, Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco. They'll always have that connection. I think that's kind of cool. It's kind of fun to, you know, because they both have had success, and that's good to see. Because, you know, there was talk of the Falcons trading down, getting Joe Flacco, Ravens even trading up and getting Matt Ryan. So both teams can be very happy. This is a well-coached team. It's a physical team. Their front seven, I think it may be the best we play all year. I'll get your take on that. What are you seeing when you look at the Ravens?
Yeah, just like you mentioned. I mean, this is a team defined by its front seven. They do have offensive playmakers, and they've got one that the Falcons are certainly familiar with in Steve Smith. But you really look at the key to this game, and it's stopping that front seven, doing something to keep those guys out of the offensive backfield. And it's all on the Falcons' offensive line.
Yeah, now speaking to those explosive plays, we talked to Coach Nolan, and he said it starts with communication. We've heard that a lot this week in all three phases, but he said as far as stopping explosive plays, and Steve Smith, the guy, he's broken off an 80-yard touchdown this year. He's got four on the year, I believe. Nolan said that age hasn't caught up to this guy. He's 35 years old. He's probably the most competitive athlete in the NFL. So that's who True and Alford and the guys are going to be looking at, but that's the kind of guys that they want to face. So he said communication coming out of the huddle, everybody knowing the play call is the first key to success. So there's no miscommunication, being on the same page. And that's what we saw happen in the Bears game, breakdowns. If we can avoid that, I think we can hopefully limit the plays and keep ourselves in the ballgame.
You know, it's great. I heard Mike Smith say the same thing, that Steve Smith's the most competitive player he's probably ever seen come through the league. I've been watching him twice a year for the last 10 years, I think.
And you'd like to think that there's familiarity right there with some players on the team, but not the guys that are going to be going up against him, because you've got Desmond Trufant, Robert Alford, sitting there in their second year, and they played against him last year, but it's not fun, a whole lot to draw.
I just always remember you'll see the ball in the air and you're like, who's he throwing to? And out of nowhere, a little fire hydrant comes out of nowhere and catches the ball. He's going to be tough to stop the Falcons. But there's some other Smiths in this game, too. I wanted to throw this one out. You got Anton Smith. You got Torrey Smith on the other side, who had a really nice game last week, by the way. Teams are starting to key on Steve. Mm-hmm. Look who's open, Torrey. And you got Mike Smith. Four Smiths in this game. There could be some other Smiths that we haven't even thought about. But those four, who's the most important Smith in this game?
Oh, wow. Well, I don't know who you guys are going to take. Obviously, I like the defensive side. We got to stop the explosive plays. We got to stop both Smiths. I mean, I think they're both going to come out. To your point, yeah, they're going to use probably Steve as the deep threat, a decoy, maybe hit Torrey. I mean, it's funny. Coach Nolan, you talk about not forgetting plays. Mm-hmm. He remembered a play by Torrey in a preseason game 3 years ago. Torrey caught the short slant and housed it. So they're obviously going to be focused on these guys, and they want to keep their the offense in this ballgame by limiting the Ravens' plays. So I say you put a limit on those Smith wide receivers for Baltimore. We'll be right there in the end.
Yeah, I'm actually going to agree with you, and I'm a huge Anton Smith fan. Huge Anton Smith fan, and I think just his path and everything that he's accomplished here with the Falcons in the last couple of years is just incredible. He can break a game wide open, there's no doubt, but I think in order for him to be in position to break a game wide open, you got to somehow put the brakes on the other two Smiths there on the Baltimore side. So that's the Smith for me.
I agree with both of you, but I kind of like Mike Smith. I like the vibe he's had this week, and I think him taking his team on this game, important road game, and then what's ahead, Mike Smith is my guy on this one. And I still, and Smitty, I trust. I always say that. I need a shirt that says that.
You do.
All right, let's talk, Jay. Next week the Falcon Cast will be from over the pond.
Yeah.
Other side of the pond in London, England.
Without Reed.
Am I going to be getting up at like 2 a.m. for that?
No. We're going to ship you over in a crate.
Yeah, actually. You might be in my carry-on luggage, Reed. Yeah. But Jay and I will be going there. It really is crazy when you look ahead. And let's just give you a little insight is our bags have already been packed for London. We've already had to bring a suitcase and it's bust. I don't know where it is right now. Apparently, we're going to get it at some point.
In Sheboygan or something.
Instead of truck, a Denny's. Instead of Denny's in Washington, D.C. or something. Yeah. But bags have already been packed. Players do the same thing. All our equipment, you got to have, itemized serial numbers. Batteries have to be packed a certain way. And that goes for this entire staff. So it is kind of crazy. It isn't just another game, but getting over there is a task, and the Lions have to do the same thing, so it's no different. It is kind of cool, Jay, I'll let you talk about how it is a Falcon home game. We're taking cheerleaders, Falcon flags. We're going to have field walls, all our features, all our music. It will be a Falcon home game for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rare outdoor home game for the Falcons. It's quite a production. I mean, to see on the, you know, behind the scenes, like everything that's going into this trip, it is truly impressive. Just all the different moving parts and all the different things that you got to be thinking about, both from a player standpoint and a staff standpoint. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I know that we're really looking forward to it as an organization, but, you know, certainly you got to take care of business first in Baltimore, and that's really where the focus is right now.
It absolutely is, and it was fun, you know, because like I said, I got something with Smitty every Tuesday that we've got to do, UPS logistics of the game and a couple other things. And I was like, so next week? And he's like, Matt, I'll have an office. I'll have an assistant. He said, we're on schedule, man. He's like, it's another game week. Yeah. And I was like, oh, you're right.
And Smitty is such a creature of habit, too, that, you know, it's all going to be routine-based. And we do the same thing when we go on West Coast trips, is that everything stays the same. You go out a day earlier, but everything kind of stays on the same time frame. I've had a look at what our schedule is going to be over in London, and it is pretty much identical. So
I asked OC, you know, about going back to London. He said, obviously, the last time he's been back was for a Falcons function. He loved it and everything. I said, well, what about the jet lag? He's like, everything's on schedule. We're going to arrive. We're going to be, you know, we're going to have the rest that we need. We're not worried at all about it. So that, again, kudos to Coach Smith.
Yeah, to speak on that, I mean, you know, right after the Baltimore game, we're going to have a dinner and then, you know, later on that night, fly out from Baltimore to London, arrive in London at 8 a.m. So plane time is sleepy time, which, you know, we're going to struggle with a little bit.
Have fun, guys.
Yeah, I can't sleep on a plane. It'll be good. But just that being said, we look ahead. The team doesn't. But,
yeah.
Keep that you look at that in your back pocket, and then you got a bye week, and then two more road games.
Yeah.
The schedule makers did zero favors for us. And I know this is a home game, and we agreed to it, the London game, that is. But, you know, we always say the sky's not falling and don't panic. But you look at this game and what's coming up. Like you said, some consistency, everyone being on the same page could really, you know, make or break how this season, you know, what path this season goes down.
Time is now.
Yeah.
Time is now.
I mean, that's really where we're at is, you know, if you want to make a move, now's the time to do it. So.
All right, let's get the picks. I don't even remember who you guys had last week. Who'd you have, Reed?
It doesn't really matter at this point because let's go by Coach Smith's 24-hour rule. It's done. We won't even worry about last week.
Picks?
I had Devin Hester.
He had Devin.
Who'd you have?
I think I had Anton.
You had Anton? Did you?
Did I do him again? I think I did.
You would have won then. I had Julio.
And then you had Julio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll give you the win, but I'll let you know what, Reed? We don't have to count it. No, we'll count it. We'll count it for Jay. So, Jay.
I don't even.
I got the goose egg this week still. So
go How many have you won?
Two.
I think it's 4-2-0. 4-2-0.
Yeah.
Okay. Who you got, Jay?
Let's see. Boy, it's tough. I'm going to go with Roddy White to rebound. You know, I think last week was just such an uncharacteristic week for him, and I know he's not happy with it. And we talked to him a little bit about it. I could see a big return for him, and
he's had some epic games against the Ravens too. The Thursday night in the dome against the Ravens is one of my favorite Roddy White moments.
Absolutely. That was full of excitement. Mm-hmm. That was great. So I'm looking for Roddy to rebound.
I'm struggling. I'm juggling a couple guys. I want to go with Julio. I want to go with Devin. But you know what? I'm going to go with Trufant. Desmond Trufant this week. He's going to be tested. He never backs down from a challenge. This defense needs a statement game. And I know Tru is the guy to go to for that.
I was thinking about going with him. I'm going to go on defense, too. I know your advice is don't go defense, but who cares? I haven't won once anyway. I'm going to go with Jonathan Massaquoi.
Oh, that's a good pick.
Go out, and I liked what we saw from him last week.
Yeah.
It was a little, you saw a little little buzz there, a little flare from Jonathan. So I'm going to see that continue this week. All right, so like we said, next week we'll be Jay and I will be joining you in London, a little podcast from the other side of the pond. It'll be good. Maybe it'll be foggy. I don't know. You know, I've never been to England, so maybe sunny.
Let's have a British guy. Let's have a.
I will see if we can find someone to have as a guest.
That could be big.
That could be fun.
That could be
bad. And
who knows what will happen. You guys got to bring back at least two souvenirs. One, a game program from a win. And two, a t-shirt.
Something for the set, maybe?
I'm going to get you a little Big Ben tchotchke that you can put right there. And you can be reminded of that time you didn't go to London.
I might expense a little trinket that can go on the set.
Just for you.
Yeah. That's a good call.
Thanks, man.
That's a good call. Let's see what we can do. All right, everyone, thank you for watching the FalconCast. Reed Fair and Jay Adams. Want to thank Brian Bosek and Nicole Johnson for putting this together and producing it. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.